message, A Study on Time. And we're not talking about periods of time. We're talking about time in itself, whether it's measured in seconds, minutes, hours, days, or years. But it's when we studied in Galatians 1 and 4, it says Christ died to deliver us from this present age. We were talking about this present evil age, and that was a time span of from the Garden of Eden until this time here, because it's all been an evil age, because it's Satan became the god of this world when Adam fell, when Adam ate of the tree. So Satan became the god of this world, or the prince of the world. So everything was evil. The present age was evil because man got sick and man died. Man had all kinds of things going on in his life. But what we're looking at now tonight is time as being used by man himself. In other words, a 24-hour period, the use of your time. And time is something that's very important, because time is more important than money. You didn't heard it say, or people say, that time is money. That time is money. And one thing about it, if you lose some money, if you lose, say, $100, or you lose $1,000 or so, you can work and make the $1,000 back. You can make more money. But you can't get lost time back. I've given y'all some notes or some sheets. Use it or lose it. Because one time I'm looking at this thing about the New York Five, or the City Park Five, of those young men that got placed in jail in New York. And you see it on television, you see it in news all the time, when somebody is acquitted or proven innocent. And they've served 25 or 30 years of their lives. And sometime the prison system or whatever give them a few $1,000s or whatever. But there's no way you can give that person the time back that he spent. You can't give him the time of his life. In other words, if they were teenagers when they locked up, now they are, you know, in their 40s or 50s or whatever, maybe, you know. So you can't give a person, you can't go back and claim time. So in Ephesians, we look at it, it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So one thing about time, we have to learn to manage our time. We have to learn to manage our time. So it sets forth that we have to be stewards of our time. We have to manage the time that God gives us here on earth and not waste that time. Now, like I said, we will go over maybe out of the New Testament some of the parables concerning time, or some things concerning time. But time is the only thing that we can count. Passover symbolizes our redemption from this world and the forgiveness of sin. And during the time of Passover, after Passover, when the wave sheaf is ordered, is done, we notice that we count 50 days after that for Pentecost. Pentecost is the only holiday, is the only day, holy day, that requires counting to come to it. 50, we see the year of Jubilee has 50. So in terms of counting, and that puts us in mind of that something that we have to keep track of, something that we necessarily have to keep track of. Redeeming the time. We said Ecclesiastes 12 and 1, but we're not going to read that one. I'm just stating that one for people that's listening that don't see our notes or whatever, but I am going to read Psalm 90 and 12. Psalm 90 and 12 says, so teach us, that's the Psalm of Moses. You can read that whole psalm if you want to, but the 12th verse says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In other words, teach us to make use of our days. If somebody told you, you went to the doctor and they said you had 6 months to live. Believe me, you would count those days. You would count those months. You'd take careful track of that time. Well, if you take 365 days a year, multiply it times 70, that's about on how many years, I mean how many days given for you to live. So if we in our 50s or our 60s, you done lived over half your days already. You on the backside of it, unless you're thinking about living to 100 or more. So you want to make the best use of time. And that's why I say the devil or people will waste your time. And one thing you ask people, don't waste my time. You don't want anybody wasting your time. A lot of doctors got it now. They don't want you to waste your time. And so they'll put up there, if you miss your appointment, you can pay $35 or $50 or whatever if you don't call and cancel your appointment. Because, like I said, time is money to them. Time is money. So we necessarily have to keep up with it and get organized to where we're not wasting time. It's a lot of people, they're on their deathbed or they're in their late years saying, I wish I knew that when I was younger. You know, if I only had a little bit more time, people always want more time. And you have to make best use of the time that God has given us, because he had appointed a day for each and every one of us. So our days are numbered, so we have to make the best of each day. The phrase number our days expresses the thought of putting in order or arranging the use of or prioritizing time, because the end of one's life is approaching fast. It's a lot of things, goals or things I wanted to get accomplished in life, but looking now, I only have so much time to do it. So you have to start prioritizing yourself. You say, well, look, your grandkids, you know, you want to do this and that for your grandkids, or you might see your great-grandkids or whatever. But there's a limited number of days in which you have to do that, so you want to make the most of them. I seen a commercial the other day, Safe Light or something, about the windshield. So the grandparents wanted to spend as much time with the kids as they could, so they come to where you at to install that windshield. Moses wanted us to remember that our remaining days grows smaller each day. There's nothing added. It's taken away. Each day is one less day you have to live. So a few Old Testament verses may be even more to the point. David writes in Psalms 39:4, he says, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. If we understand just how short our time is, we also realize how weak and insignificant we are next to God in eternity. We're just a shadow, just a vapor that appears. We hear and then we're gone. It forces us to rely upon God for the keep us and sustain us. So every morning you wake up, somebody didn't wake up, but you thank God that he given you another breath and he woke you up that day. And you strive to improve your health. You strive to improve things. This is that kind of attitude that God desires in us and will enhance our growth in character. So a lot of people grow in age. As they get older, they develop character because they're thankful to God and they make certain vows to God. If God, if you would keep me healthy, if you could let me live to see my grandkids. Well, what are you putting forward to do that progress toward the kingdom of heaven? Is something that you necessarily may need to do for God to sustain your days, to sustain your life. One commandment tells us, honor thy parents so that your days would be long. You shorten your days when you dishonor your parents. 1 Corinthians 7:29, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be though as though they had none. Now here Paul is telling people, and a lot of people get off on a tangent or go the wrong way here, because Paul is telling them that it's better not to marry. due to the present time. The whole verse 27 to 33 says, if you have a wife, do not seek to end the marriage. If you do not have a wife, do not seek to get married. But if you do get married, it is not a sin. And if a young woman gets married, it's not a sin. However, those who get married at this time will have troubles, and I'm trying to spare you those problems. So the time right now, it's difficult. You know your children, and you know different people, and you might say, well, look, it might be better for you not to be married. And because of your temperament or something about some people, it's not given to that they're the marrying kind of that they should be married. And Paul was saying, since some people can't prioritize themselves, they don't have certain discipline, they're not walking in the Lord or whatever, it may be better for them or less pressure on them than they be married. Because during this time, Paul's time, that was a lot of persecution. And if you didn't belong to one of the trade guilds or unions, you couldn't work or whatever. And your religion would, if they found out you was a Christian, a lot of the jobs wouldn't allow you to work or whatever. So we see that this present age, this present day, is similar, and there are different problems in marriages and things. So he's not saying it's a sin or whatever, but sometimes you tell people what might be better for them, you know, what would help their situation. Not that it's a sin or it's evil, but you may not can take the pressure. You may not can control a wife and a family and all these other things, because that's a lot of things going on. We're not all built the same or whatever. In Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, he says this, see that ye walk circumspectly, but not as fools, but as wise. And notice he used the words wise. And that's why I say it requires wisdom to be able to budget your time, to keep up with your time. And that's where you need God at. You need God to help you with that wisdom to manage your time, because it's all in the Lord. So when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is pray or whatever. And I was telling someone, the longer your day is, maybe the more prayer you need, the earlier you need to get up to ask God to organize your days for you, to organize that day, because anything could come to you within that day. There's going to be emergencies, spontaneous situations that crop up or whatever. And if you don't have a to-do list, I have a to-do list. And I have so many things to get done, but I kind of have them prioritized, because at the end of the day, it's a lot of things on that list that don't get done. But I'm trying to make sure I get the important things. And as I got older, I keep a calendar, I keep this, because redundancy is a waste of time. Sometimes people go to Walmart or go to the store two or three times a day or whatever. Well, that was a waste. If you had to sit down and plan out what you wanted from the store in the beginning, and anybody that was going, anything that your wife or your spouse or your children would have, you'd have got it that one time instead of making two or three different trips. I used to tell my brother, I'd go to Walmart once a month or whatever. In other words, it takes wisdom to prosper in this world, because the world is designed. It's an evil present age, but we dealing everybody with the same 24-hour day. At the end of the day, a lot of people say, well, you don't have more time. You can't have more time. And it's a problem that you're going to have to learn to manage, because if God would have gave us 36-hour days, we would have put too much in those days. And we'll talk about that when we talk about the Sabbath thing a little bit later on. But he says, but as wise, redeeming the times, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Notice that this is written to the church. It's an epistle, and it's written to the people of the church, and it says, knowing what the will of God is. Let me read that to you out of the Living Version, which may give you a little bit more understanding of it. It says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do, what God's will is, because people will have you all over the place, or you'll have yourself all over the place, but you need to ask God to lead you and guide you that day, that he's programming you, you're doing the will of God that day, that thy will be done. You're not going around doing what you want to do. You understand what I'm saying? God has to direct your path. He has to direct your living. This is a general characteristic of it. So we're going to have more in the next two or three lessons of it. But it says, in the Amplified, it says, therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. Not as unwise, but as wise, sensible and intelligent, discerning people, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity, using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. Therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless. I was going to the library to make copies for the church today. So before I left, I had planned that I said, I'm going to go to the library and make copies, but I'm going to the Shoppers Value. It'll be on the same side of the road if I turn and go this way, and I could run in there, and that mean it will be 6. But then after I leave the Shoppers Value, I can take the Rite Aid. I'll go to the Rite Aid that's on the corner right there when I leave the Shoppers Value, and I could pick up her prescription. Then I could come to the house, and then we can leave, and I won't have to stop at the library or anything, because I needed to get here on time. So you ask God to help you plan, you help design, because all that is part of what God saying, be wise, don't be foolish. People, you done heard the expression that sometimes people run around like a chicken with its head cut off. You don't want to be one of those. You want to sit down and plan, you know, like you get your newspaper, you plan your sales. A lot of times we don't buy food or anything unless it's on sale or whatever. But your whole life is about planning and preparation. God wants you to learn to plan and be prepared. That's why he told us to be prepared when he comes back. We should be planning to go to heaven. All our time should be budgeted and used in the Lord's work in preparing us, our character and nature, for heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Colossians 4 and 5, notice that all of these, are the majority of them, has wisdom in it. It says, conduct yourself with wisdom in your interactions with outsiders, in other words, with non-believers. Make the most of each opportunity, treating it as precious. Each thing, the little things, with prayer and supplication, your request known to God, but the little foxes that would destroy the vines. 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here, 20 minutes here, all these things add up. If you don't add up what it takes to get to a place, what it takes to traffic, you know, you see some people blowing at you at the red light. They got to rip and run because they didn't left too late. Now everybody's in their way. They're tearing up the highway to get where they're going. May have an accident or anything else. It leads to stress and worration because now you're under pressure. You didn't got behind. So all this from lack of planning, lack of considering time, and that means it's a lack of wisdom. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the godly use of knowledge and understanding. And you only get that, and I don't know how many of y'all are following church protocol. It's in the church thing. I tell anybody that joined, I told my children that growing up. And I heard a few preachers on the radio here lately saying it, that once a year you need to read the book of Proverbs. You need to pick a month with 31 days and read a chapter each day corresponding. It's 31 chapters and whatever date. And if it's the day the 18th, you should be on chapter 18. Read Proverbs. It gives you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding if you're doing the will of God. You have to put God's word to work, though. You have to do it. Wisdom will help us to prioritize our time properly so we can lead a stressless life. Because Jesus says, see that you be not worried. Because all these things do come into our lives. Things will happen. And you have to plan for things, allow time so you're not so bunched up. Don't budget every minute of your time out. And if something occurs, something get behind, like my daddy used to say, well, leave early for work. Something may happen. Anything could go wrong or whatever. So you have to, in other words, God has to be with you in doing all this because it's if the Lord will. So God, you have to see God is sovereign in that he's clearing the path that you led by him, that he takes you. And if you start feeling the presence of God all the time, you'll start seeing him in your life. Say, that's nothing but God cleared the path that this was opening in that day. You have to be seeking and searching for God every day because he's out there. The Spirit do it yet work. It's the Spirit working. So in search of God in everything you do. If I go to the doctor, I'm looking for a godly doctor. I'm looking for somebody that's righteous or trying to do what's right. And I compliment that person. I'm with that person because anything that you're doing in a godly way, God says with exhortation, exhort one another. So if you never boosting somebody else up and speaking good of them when they're doing good and blessing people and going without outward look, you're not as Jesus Christ because that's what he did. He went around doing good. You don't have nothing good to say about anybody. You carry yourself like something sour, something bitter, and the world has done you something. There's a chip on your shoulder or whatever. Well, see, that's not... You don't have joy and peace. So your whole day, you wake up, it's a bad day. No, it's a good day. You woke up, didn't you? Mm-hmm. The other day was a good day because I have a lot of rainy days I have set aside to do stuff inside because God allowed it to rain for a purpose or something, and I shouldn't be upset. I just have to prioritize do something. Yes, I have to be so organized that when I was working construction when I was younger, our boss would always have stuff that he had to do for us whenever it rained. So most of the dry days we were doing stuff outside or whatever, but he always had something that we could do when it rained. You have to make provisions for all these things. Wisdom leads to salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, and how from childhood, he's Paul is speaking to Timothy, how from childhood you have known the sacred writings. In other words, you've known the scriptures. Your parents and grandparents had taught you the scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Surrendering your entire self to him and having absolute confidence in his wisdom, power, and goodness. So, if you study the scripture, that's where wisdom at. That's the mind of God. The word of God is the mind of God. And that's what we need to do, is have the mind of God. 2 Timothy also 2:15, it says, study and do your best to present yourself to God approved. The King James says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, handling accurately and skillfully the teaching of the word of truth. Herein again, it's studying the word of God. That's what that instructions. You have to learn to follow instructions. If we start with the Bible, following instructions just as it is, he told Moses, see that you make it according to the pattern in which I showed you. It's imperative that we follow instructions. Nabab and Abihu took a shortcut and they offered strange fire to the Lord, but he always told them to take the fire from this place to burn it on the altar. Don't get it from anywhere else. Instructions are very important. That's why we teach our children from an early point in life to follow instructions. How many people say, Well, I think I'll get well. I have faith and I'm following the doctor's orders. If you're following the doctor, but you can't fault the doctor if you're not getting well, if you're not following his orders to the letter. Because you know more than him. In other words, you're on your own. So it's not his fault if you're not doing that. So we have to follow God the way God has it prescribed. See that you do it the way God tells you to do it. A doer of his word. Instruction is very important. In the book of Joshua, the first chapter, the 8th verse, it says, study this book, in other words, the Bible. Study the instructions continually. Meditate in his word day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. Not turning to the right nor the left, that I think it's this way, I think it. He doesn't leave that up to us. Do it this way. Meditate in his word. In other words, what you should be thinking about, instead of daydreaming about money, daydreaming about this, the book of Jude called them filthy dreamers that defile the flesh. Thinking of marrying this woman or somebody else's husband or wife, or if you only had this person, if I had this car, if my health was like this, if this, it's always something you lust thing after. And James says, that's why you're warring inside your members. You desire and have not, and you can't have any peace. You're stressed out or whatever, because your mind is on the wrong things. Your mind is going the wrong way. That's why you don't have the peace that you should have. So we should pray for wisdom. I get 2 pages of this. We should pray for wisdom. I got one more here with that one. We should... be prayer for wisdom. You know, it tells us to pray for wisdom. In the book of James, it says, any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Pray to God who give it liberally. And so you ask God for this wisdom. You pray for God for wisdom. Solomon in 2 Corinthians, the 1st to the 10th verse, he asked God to give him wisdom and knowledge. He says, give me wisdom and knowledge so that I may go out and come in, performing my duties before this people. For otherwise, who can rule and administer justice to so great a people as yours? So he asked God for wisdom to be able to lead, to be able to be a king over the people. Only God can supply that. That's going to save you a bunch of time. Wisdom and proper management of time lies in wisdom. Within wisdom, there's knowledge and understanding. That's how you can number your days. That's how you can count or measure your days. That you feel good after you set goals and you start reaching, achieving goals. We'll talk about that later on. But that's why you have to have goals and things set in your life. You don't start big or sit there and dream big. A lot of people just want a miracle to happen. We was at the doctor's today, and the doctor was telling my wife about just taking a few steps here, just taking a few things here, just doing a little bit to build yourself up to these things. That's why a lot of times a lot of people, if they go in and lifting weights or doing anything, they get sore because they're trying to do too much too fast. They get sore, get disappointed or overwhelmed, and they stop. Because they try to do too much at one time. That's why I tell people about tithing and everything. When you first come into church or whatever, a lot of us are so buried down, so budgeted, messed up and everything, that we may not get tithe, fully tithe, but we can begin to tithe. It's no reason nobody that's in the church after a few years or so that they shouldn't be fully tithing and paying offerings. Now, there is a problem if you hadn't worked your way up to where, see, because during this time, over a period of a year or two, you done got away from extravagant spending on yourself. You're making sacrifices. You learn that you got to budget God's money in first. So by budgeting his money in first, that means you can't buy this and buy that, be extended out so full that you can't pay tithes some weeks or some months or whatever. You can't pay tithes. Tithes is your greatest responsibility because God is first. So that means you have to learn. So that's why I say it's all in counting and measuring. Psalms 90 and 12, you remember I saying that was an application of our hearts to wisdom. He was asking the number of the days to give us wisdom in our hearts and things. Proverbs 2 and 3. And I got a reading for y'all for the whole chapter of the second Proverbs because it speaks of wisdom as an entity, as a person. It speaks of wisdom. That's the best guide you could have. But it says, wisdom promises godliness and a direction to her children. Wisdom is Sophia of God. It's a motherly-like image here. It's knowledge. It says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding. In other words, pray and plead and ask God for cries. In other words, petition. And you remember I tell you what prayer and supplication, let your request be known to God. If thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding. In other words, cry out for insight, for understanding for God. And no father, if your earthly father can give you good things, can give you a bread if you're hungry, or give you an egg instead of a scorpion if you're hungry. How about your heavenly Father? Isn't he willing to give you good things? Jesus said, if you lack any of these things, ask the Father for anything. And that includes wisdom in my name, and that he'll do. So we have to petition God for it. Back to Ephesians 1:17, I told you that had wisdom. And I was telling Sister Harris, when we first began, she was talking about the Holy Spirit in prayer or whatever. See, but that spirit of wisdom. See, there's a spirit of wisdom. You remember when Moses was getting ready to make the temple and he was having to do a lot of metallurgical work? In other words, the craftsman was going to have to work with gold and fashion a lot of stuff through the fire and everything. Well, God had put up on Bezalel and another man, a spirit of craftsmanship, of wisdom. All these spirits are from the Lord. So Ephesians says the spirit of wisdom in revelation, knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because God has to reveal Jesus Christ to revelate. He reveals certain things to you. That's why he said he had to die and go away, because he was to send the Holy Spirit. So we have to be born again. It's necessary. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And that spirit, the Holy Ghost, it is what guides you and leads you in all truth. It'll bring former things to your remembrance. It's like deja vu. Hey, you've been down this road before. Seems like this didn't happen before or whatever. Let me make this decision. Let me do this. God's giving me a chance to do this over. In other words, you're looking for the Spirit's prompting and leading. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. You're not looking to do things yourself. You're waiting upon the Spirit. Jesus waited upon the Spirit. He says, if there any other way that this can be done, let it. But nevertheless, thy will be done. So you may have to go the way of sickness. You might have to go the way, but you just have to bear that cross, knowing, as we preach Saturday, in that furnace of affliction, that he's in that affliction with you. If you're down with health problems, whether it be physical or mental, he's there with you. And a lot of times, he puts people there that's been through that same thing that you've been through so that you could comfort ye one another. That's why it says a preacher shouldn't be a novice. In other words, these people that are saying this, they've been through problems themselves. It's hard to tell somebody about marriage if you hadn't been married. I tell a lot of people, I've been married 37, 38 years almost. Well, how could you do this? And people say, because you have to learn to sacrifice. You know, it's a whole lot of things. But it's not that you have experience. Nobody has, you know, I'm not saying that nobody's been married before, but it's just like being a parent. You hadn't been a parent before, but as you have children and raising them, you're learning and doing the parenting with God leading you and doing the best you can. And by the time you get this thing just about right and good at it, they're grown and they're ready to leave the house. They're gone. Now you know all about it. So with that knowledge and that thing, you could use that patience, that experience with your grandkids. And that's why your kids be mad. Oh, you treat them differently for me. No, it's just that this is the stage I'm at here. And they should use that to their advantage. Because time heals all wounds. You haven't heard of that expression. So it's time. There's a time for everything. Now, we're not talking time as we're talking now. But there's a time and a season for all things. But we have to bide our time. It says, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. Ask God to give you spiritual wisdom and insight to handle and go through. Because if you go through something with the wrong attitude and disposition, okay, you went through it, but you didn't go through the right way. You see, the Hebrew boys, when they was in the fire, they went through the fire in confidence, knowing that God was able, and they wasn't kicking and screaming, and no, don't throw us in there. They went on in the fire and said God could deliver us, but they didn't know whether he was going to deliver them or not. See, some of us are going through our trial and tribulation and making it hard for everybody else. But God wants us, with the Christian's perspective, to go and be an example as Jesus Christ, that was like a lamb led to the slaughter. Like Stephen, he says, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. In other words, you could handle this with joy. It says, they joy in their afflictions and divers temptations. They were singing in jail. Paul and Silas were singing in jail that they were able to suffer for the name of Christ. So we're different from the world, and we have to be different. But if the world see us going through things, and then we get through things, Jesus brought me through that. Well, he wasn't with you too well, because, man, we were ready to throw you over the boat. But it's some people that's having problems that are able to comfort others while they're going through problems. Colossians 1:9, knowledge of his will in all wisdom spiritual. It says, for this reason, since the day we heard about it, we have not stopped praying for you, asking specifically that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom, with insight into his purposes and in understanding of spiritual things. See, that's what Job didn't have, a spiritual understanding in the whole knowledge of God's will. So after Job had went through everything he had went through, then he says, I heard about you, but now I see. See, sometimes you have to experience these things. But see, through the scriptures, we have the complete scriptures now. So we ought to be able to go through better than some of them. The Old Testament was the examples unto us. It was written for our admonition. So we see that we're not going through things and demanding of God, why is this happening? And I've lived the right way. I've done all these things. And why is this happening to me or whatever? It rains on the just and the unjust. God brings us through something. And God, the clay has no reason to complain how the potter is making it. The clay has nothing to do with that. So sometimes he has to throw you in the fire. But all things are beautiful. All things are working together for good for those that love the Lord. So I tell you, ready and prepared, making the proper preparations and not being like the Laodiceans that wasted time. Can you turn that off? Not being like the Laodiceans, or turn it up a few degrees, 5 or 6 degrees. Not wasting time, for considering the cares of this life. In Luke, the 21st chapter, the 34th through the 36th verse, he talks about this. He says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting." In other words, partying and the cares of this life and riotous living and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare, it should come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted. There goes that term again. You be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So everybody else is busy partying. It was as in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking and partying, you know, marrying and giving in marriage. And the flood came and washed them away. It's going to be the same way when Christ comes back. But we should be diligently, what? Watching for his return. We should be looking for the day of the coming of the Lord. We should be looking for the bridegroom coming. We should be busy. Now, it's two more parables tied to this. The parable of the virgins and the other parable. But we're not going to go into them tonight. But see, the other parable was about the virgins. They were asleep. You remember? Five of them were wise and five of them were what? Foolish. Those that was wise kept trimming their lamps. You can't go to sleep on God. You can't think you didn't made it. You can't coast. God wants us to live a nice, peaceable family life. You don't have to be on social media and known and popular to everybody and always going. You know, a lot of us are too busy. We have a house, but we don't have a home. You never get a chance to sit down and barbecue or enjoy a good baked or cooked meal or something, or take time for you and your family to sit down with your wife and your children or whatever, watch television or do things. God does give us time. All this has to be scheduled in. You see what I'm saying? You have to set aside these times. Philippians 4 and 6, 4th chapter, 6th through the 8th verse. Make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we've instructed you. So, it also says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You remember I said about thinking and what to think about, and about filthy dreamers and thinking about money and thinking about worldly things. You know, it's a lot of people think about car, what they go get next. Their whole mind is, you know, it's like watching the shopping network or something. It's always merchandise. See what I'm saying? What I'm going to get next. A lot of times my children or people get together. Oh, I want to get this iPhone 6. I want to get this. You ever been around people and the next thing, they're always talking about the next new thing? This world, you remember I said it's the present evil world? Well, if you're watching television, doesn't it always tell you about something new? That's how they make money. The advertiser always, you need this. You have to have this. This is something new. Even the food channels and the food people, they got me the other week with something from Arby's or something. But, you know, it's always something new. And they got the food channel. People sit there and watch this, and we're getting bigger and bigger. But listen at what Paul says here. He says what we should be thinking about. You remember I said meditate in the word day and night, don't turn to the left or right? He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. Don't sit there thinking about getting even with nobody. Don't sit there thinking about hoping this happened and planning and plotting. You know, a lot of people lay on their beds and sit down and just think about doing wrong. They get their little corners in their little group thinking about doing evil. They're thinking the wrong things about what they could do here. And their mind is not on things that are pure or just. How can we do good for this person? But they're thinking on covering it. Their minds in the day of the flood says man's thoughts was evil continually.
Yeah.
How can I get this person? How can I do that? It's like the man that kept building bigger barns. I need a bigger barn. I need a big. He said, now your soul is required of you. Because your mind was always on something else instead of the things on God, of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. All these things will be added to you. If your thoughts are right, your desires are in line with God, you praying according to his will, you know you have those things that you ask of him because you do his commandments. You keep his commandments. It's important that we keep the will and know what the will of God is. Know what his purpose for us in our life. And we won't be asking or getting an extraneous position trying to do something we don't qualify to do or something we shouldn't have or get deeply in debt or whatever because we've done proper planning, budgeted, and looking at this thing. We've counted the cost. Nobody builds a building or builds anything without counting the cost of what it's going to take. What is it going to cost me to do this? God's people don't waste time. I think Saturday we're going to talk about this in the marketplace. So it doesn't mean that they idle. It's a sin to be idle. He talks about idle. Why stand ye idle? He kept coming to that marketplace and he was seeing people idle. He says these, it's got people that go about leading captive silly women laden with sin. There are women that are idle, go from house to house and tail bearing and talking. You know, a lot of guys sitting around under the tree or sitting in this place, sitting around all day just talking and they idle. Idols, they say an idle mind is the workshop of the devil. We go, you look at it, slothfulness. It talks about that, Proverbs 15 and 19, 19 and 15, 24 and 30, 26 and 14, and Ecclesiastes 10 and 18. I got it there. I want you to look at those scriptures because Solomon talks about being slothful. What happens to your fields? What happened to your health? What happens, everything, because God designed us to work. Notice, he says, in 6 days ye shall work. Yeah. Yeah. He give you one rest day, but 6 days ye work. He gave man a job in the garden before he gave him a wife. That's indicative of something. We made work toil, though. Now, we've caused work to be toil. If you look at Proverbs 6 and 4, 9 and 10. Let's look at one of them here. Because Solomon was hard on people about sleeping. Now, I'm not saying that unless health reasons or whatever, but you know, sleep is it's not really good for you. It's the 8 hours or whatever that you have to sleep is good. But if you lay around sleeping all day or whatever, he says 6 and 4. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise. Here it goes again, be wise. Which having no guide, no overseer, or no ruler, provided her meat in the summer, and gathered her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? Will thou arise out of thine sleep? It goes on to 10 and it goes to 20 and 13. But there are a lot of scriptures about sleep and idleness. That's one thing God shuns. See, anywhere you're at, sleeping is not good for you. You know, more. Let me put it this way. Too much sleep. How about that? Because it would be like me saying food is not good for you. But we know that. We know that gluttony is a sin, eating too much food. That's why Jesus said, don't labor for the bread of the world, in other words. You have to take care of your body. But that's why they teach fasting and abstaining and eating in moderation. We can't walk in the truth of God and be consumed because this world's pleasure. That's why we were talking about drunkenness and carousing and having pleasure and everything. It's too much. But if you carve out an hour, a program, and sit down there and say, well, what program am I going to watch today? What I'm going to watch? Well, you could find something to watch, and it wouldn't be a sin to sit there and watch an hour or two. But then they have on Sunday, what is it, NCIS Los Angeles, the whole day. You could go to some channel and have a whole day where your particular good thing come on, and you could sit there the whole day and watch it. But that's not a godly thing. In other words, you have to give account. In other words, you have to count that I'm not going to get anything done. See, a lot of time the reason we don't get things done is an excess in another area. Or we take on tasks that's too complicated. Well, we'll get that to that another time. I don't want to deviate too far. But time, learning proper management. Don't get so absorbed that you oversaturate yourself. That was one of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, according to Ezekiel, was it sodomy as the people preaching, the people teaches about the sodomites and everything? All the homosexuals, well, why? Well, here God calls his people Sodom and Gomorrah. Ezekiel, the 16th chapter of Ezekiel. Now, let's start at the 48th verse. It says, and that, 46th verse, and thine elder sister is Samaria, and her daughter that dwells at thine left hand, and the younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor after their abominations, but as that were a very little thing, thou was corrupted more than they all in thy ways. As I live, it says the Lord God, Sodom thy sister had not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, and thou and thine daughters. Now he's talking to Jerusalem, he's talking to Israel, he's talking to his people, he's calling them Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, behold, this was the iniquity of thine sister Sodom. It was pride, fullness of bread, an abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. In other words, what Israel and what the wealthy people were was like this nation. They lived for the strip, the poor people, to strip the elderly, and what they wanted was little more time of idleness, tailgate parties, thousands of dollars on luxurious living and paying for high living in boats and yachts and ivory-laid beds and wealthy homes, two or three vacation homes, the most modern technology. It was satiety. In other words, pride. It wanted to be the nation that had the best-looking clothes, the best cars, homes. If you listen at the young people, that's the spirit of this age, the present evil age. It's about gain. It's about get what they got. They always talk about things in terms of salary, how much they're making. Not whether they qualify to do the job or how they're doing the job, but how much they're making. They're always talking about how much they spend for a pair of tennis or how much they're spending for the meals. If you go look on Facebook and some of the social media, they'll say, well, I ate here last night. People taking pictures of their food where they didn't eat or whatever. Saturday. The cars, the bling of their looks, how much they're spending on their dogs and their pets and things. That was the sin. Not consistently walking in the truth. We have to consistently walk in the truth, because if Jesus died to deliver us from this present age, it should make us free. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed on him, if you abide in my word, in other words, continually obeying my teachings and living in accordance with them, then you are my disciples and you will know the truth. In other words, That's when you'll know what the will of God is. When you keep walking in God's word, he's the revelator. He'll give you light and he'll give you more light. The more you're doing his word, the more he will show you more of his word. He's not going to give you any more of his word if he even wasted it. Or if you're not holy, in other words, don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not walking. He said, don't give that which is holy to the dogs. They'll trample it underfoot. A lot of people have God's word and are wrestling with it to their own destruction. So you don't have time for people wasting your time not being serious for God. He said, you will know the truth regarding salvation. Why? Because you studied the scripture. They're able to make you wise unto salvation. You're a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're a Berea, and you're studying to see what those things true. He says, and the truth will set you free from the penalty of sin. The truth is what sets you free. That's what makes you free. Walking in the truth. Walking in the light as he is light. You have eternal life. That's why it says to deliver you from this present world. You are able to overcome the world. He wants you to be an overcomer. You're not bound by the world. You're loose. You're free. You have the freedom in Jesus Christ. The truth of which he speaks indicates a broad and deep reality. A package containing many individual truths. Not merely just one truth. Just like the people that believe a lie, it's that they believe in this present system, the present world, the present age. It's a whole package of things that makes up the lie. Just like it's a package of things that makes the truth. Thus, the package takes time to build. You have to prepare and build it to accumulate, which is why a person must abide in the word. Pressing on toward the mark that's in Christ Jesus, maintaining the freedom once it is given, not going back into bondage, not going back in the dark. You have to not continue in sin. You have to keep your hands washed and cleansed, continually to wash your feet, continually to wash your robes. The use of time is a costly investment that is not always easily made. Experience in Christian living proves that urgent needs arise in the defense of one's standing before God, and they cannot be dealt with leisurely. In addition, there is the everyday maintenance of disciples, discipline in one's life, and securing our absolute need of study. You have to be disciplined because you have to set that time aside and say, I'm going to study God's word at least for an hour, or at least for this. I'm going to give this, I'm going to dedicate this to God. The Muslims, the Islamic people, they dedicate 3 times a day to prayer. 3 specific times, whatever they're doing, they're going to stop and pray. We have to dedicate prayer time to God. We have to have a time for prayer. We have to consistently pray to God. You have to study his word and service to God. How do you serve God? By serving man. We have to do good going around doing this, and people have to see that light shining in you. That light has to be there. You're going around doing good. And in servicing God, you, like I said, you service your fellow man. He that is did this to the least of these did it unto me. So just to speak good to people, to make someone smile, to do good things, you know how it feels to do, and people say, thank you for doing that, thank you. Or to go around doing good. You're doing that which he had sent you to do. Your body's the sacrifice. And so you have to rise up early. Notice that all of his servants was early risers. He would say, I sent my prophets to you rising early. So he wasn't sleeping or laying back on the job. And we all have that same 24 hours. So nobody has advantage over nobody else. But with this time, we have to use it or lose it. We'll get further next week because I want to talk about procrastination. And I was a lead procrastinator at one time. I can tell you about that. But we're going to look at the